Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamental in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. Now, here in the States, we are about to head into a holiday week slash holiday weekend, and things are really starting to heat up before we go into this holiday. And it's not usually like this. You know, usually things calm down, they simmer out, which we are seeing a little bit of, but man, there's a lot happening in the crypto markets. Quite a bit of drama here, TiVo. I know, we were kind of bantering about this before we started, but man, I mean, between the Solana ETFs and everything that's happening between Coinbase and the government, and you even have these like multi-millionaires and billionaires that are now going after Gary and the SEC saying, what are you guys doing over there? But man, we have a lot to talk about. TiVo, what are your thoughts briefly before we begin here?
Yeah, another good week in crypto news. Again, price action, we're going to hit it here in a second. Price action, pretty stagnant, nothing crazy, but just the continuous momentum of good news. And let us be the first to wish you a happy 4th of July if you're celebrating here in the U.S. This episode airs on Thursday, July 4th, the actual holiday. Not a lot of other podcasts will be dropping episodes for you this holiday weekend, but we are here to keep you updated, keep you informed. And we have to, because like we just said, there's a lot of positive news that's not necessarily reflected in the price action recently, but you know, you can't not see the momentum in the crypto industry as a whole.
Yeah, this is the Freedom Podcast.
America, still number one.
No, I love it. But yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and just talk about like the high level overview, what's happening here before we get into all the news and the nitty gritty. Let's talk about a very high-level overview of the market. What are we seeing on things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and Solana and stuff like that? And to kick things off with just Bitcoin, I mean, we really are just still range-bound. I mean, TiVo, we've been talking about this. It's funny because this is probably one of the longest ranges that Bitcoin has had in, you know, quite some time. We've been ranging since about February, and now we're pushing into July. So we've had like, we're pushing like 4 or 5 months of just range bound sideways price action where Bitcoin has been stuck in, you know, roughly about a $10,000 range between 60 and 70,000 for the most part. And what we saw like, you know, pretty recently during last month was we saw the rejection of that all time high resistance zone right around 72K. And Bitcoin essentially just fell back down. We said, hey, we bounced off 60K like five, six separate times in the past. And sure enough, we came right back down to this area. We're going to flash it up on the screen in just a second with the charts. But we basically made our way back down here, found a bunch of support on Bitcoin, and now we've bounced a little bit up, which kind of brings us up to speed. But just saying, hey, we are still inside this range that we've been in since February. We're at the very bottom of support. We're finding support on the exact same trend line that we've used about 6 or 7 times over the last 4 to 5 months. And this is kind of the bottom of the zone that we're keeping an eye on alongside the 200-day moving average. Now, when we look at like the high level of Ethereum, you know, we mentioned this last week, but Ethereum has started to outperform Bitcoin. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, even though Bitcoin fell to the lows, fell to the 200-day moving average, and fell kind of like almost to the bottom of its range, Ethereum didn't do that. You know, Ethereum's still in the middle of its range. It's hanging on to some of the more lower time frame moving averages, and it's just higher up. It's been holding value better. And because Ethereum has been doing that, whether that is because of, you know, some sort of technical reason, maybe it's because of the impending ETFs and people are bullish about that, you know, whatever reason you want to go with, the main takeaway here is that Ethereum is outperforming Bitcoin. That is ultimately a good thing for altcoins. And then we're also seeing ETH BTC or Ethereum compared to Bitcoin start to move back up as well, which is, again, a healthy sign for altcoins. You know, for everyone that's out there, they want an altcoin season. This is actually kind of the start of signs that you really want to see before we get a proper altcoin season. So that's kind of the high level overview. I think there's been a couple other assets that have been performing well. We can take a look at Solana, briefly talk about that, and also the ETFs that are going to be coming up. So we're going to talk more about that in just a bit. We're also going to be talking about ENS in a bit because that thing's been going crazy. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. But let's just throw up the charts here on Bitcoin before we get too deep and kind of just walk everyone through, give everyone a visual of what exactly we are talking about. Now, again, if you want to watch all the visuals, you want to join us in the screen share, see all the pictures that we are throwing up on the screen, then you got to go over to the YouTube channel. It's Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. You can check out all these market rundowns, all of our podcasts, all of our video tutorials, and so much more over there. And of course, the coolest part is that you get to see all the visuals that we are referencing throughout these crypto market rundowns. So if you are a Spotify or Audible or Apple Podcast listener, just a quick little note for all of you. So this is what the Bitcoin chart looks like over here. This is essentially that range that I was referencing a second ago, where Bitcoin has just been going from the 60K support up to its 70K resistance, then back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And you can see that we've just been chopping around ever since February over here. And so with this kind of rejection of the 70K resistance area, Bitcoin fell all the way back down here, bounced off the 200-day moving average, which is significant. It's a big support level, and it's good that we are reacting to it. But it also went back above this trend line. And I think the other big takeaway is that not only did Bitcoin bounce off the 200-day moving average, but it closed all of its subsequent candles above 60K. That's a big sign. It's a bullish sign. It's what you want to see in the short term from the bulls. You know, you want to see these candles closing over 60K. And so the subsequent, you know, week of daily candles all closed above this area, which is ideal. So now what we saw is that Bitcoin pretty much defended the lows and rallied immediately back into something like the 20-day moving average, hit it to a T, seeing a little bit of resistance, and now we'll see how Bitcoin responds to the lows again. Now, if you're a bull in here and you want to see price appreciate, you want to see Bitcoin essentially form a higher low inside of this range. We want to see Bitcoin continue to close candles above 60K, maybe even above 61K, and then ultimately break above its previous short-term high of 64K. I guess more so like 63.8K, but you know, we get the picture. We want to see Bitcoin, you know, when it comes down, come down to a higher price than where it bottomed previously. And then when we see it move up, we want to see it move higher than it had previously seen in the short term. We call this higher lows and higher highs. It's essentially saying, hey, we're going to have a break of the short-term downtrend and then retest some of these significant levels like 66 to 67,000 and then eventually closer to 72 to 74,000. And so these are, you know, basically the big resistance levels that I'm looking at over here, this previous area of support around 66 to 67K that has now very clearly turned into resistance alongside this all-time high resistance level as we push up closer to 72. So basically, you know, that's a complicated way of saying Bitcoin has defended the lows really well. We need to see a little bit more just for confirmation purposes. But if Bitcoin can hold here, if Bitcoin can weather the storm of this retest of support and rally back to the upside, you know, that could be the move that ultimately leads us to new all-time highs. In fact, you know, I think that if I'll go ahead and say it, I think we talked about this last week, TiVo, is that if we defend here, I could very easily see Bitcoin rallying up to new all-time highs. And this could be the final retest of support before we rally up, break through resistance, and see Bitcoin above $74,000 or at least retesting that level. So
there's a tweet that just came out right now. Standard Charter just came out with a note. Bitcoin could reach $100,000 by August from Standard Chartered.
And here's the thing, like that's possible. You know, I like to be pretty conservative. You know, a lot of my predictions, I'm like, okay, it's possible for it to do this and that, but 100K Bitcoin is completely possible because when we zoom out and we look at like how big that is, TiVo, that's a 62% move. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but just a couple months ago from January to March, we moved 92%. So who's to say that we can't do another 62%? And during like the same, essentially like the same time frame, the same window. Granted, you know, Bitcoin's market cap is going to be bigger and there's other factors that go into that. However, I think 100K is completely possible, especially when we have such a large accumulation period. Bitcoin is winding up for something big. Now, I think most of us We want that something to be a bullish move, right? We want it to be a move to the upside. This is a big wind up, and none of us want to see the big move be a crash down, which I don't think is going to happen.
Don't draw that arrow. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, don't draw that arrow. People, reverse it. You know, we're all looking for this candle, right? The one that leads us up to 100K. And yeah, I mean, I would say it's possible.
So. Do you remember the last time there was a range this long? I mean, we're what, three, March, April, May, June, 3.5 months now?
I mean, you know, definite range, like maybe I would say the bottom of the market cycle before we reverse. I mean, this is right. One of the largest ranges that we have had in years, like seriously years. Like, I guess you know, some people would maybe argue that back towards the beginning of 2023, we saw a similar thing happen, like right over in here, which is true, but you can... No matter which way you look at this, whether it was the bottom and we saw a consolidation period like this, Bitcoin rallied to a higher high afterwards, or whether it was this period here, we see the exact same thing where Bitcoin rallies higher. When we look at this, this feels like a consolidation before the continuation in the uptrend. So, I mean, we saw it in 2022, we saw it in 2023. Guess what? Now we're seeing it in 2024. Is it anything new that we haven't seen before? No. You know, we've seen this stuff before. Bitcoin rallies higher. Obviously, there's no guarantees. This isn't financial advice.
Never.
Never. But
as long as this range is, it's never been, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, as long as this range has been, and maybe some people call it boring, but... You know, it's gets shaken out if you can't hold on. But like, as long as this range has been, has there ever been a range this long accompanied by some of the most positive news flow in the space in the history of the space? Like, I don't think that's that the two pairings don't exist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so. And that's a good point. I mean, not only do we have the range and the positive price action and all this stuff, but we have, like you said, arguably some of the most bullish news that we have ever seen before. And I mean, even going back over here, I mean, let's even go back all the way over to this period of consolidation, you know, back in 2020, right? A little sideways choppy action. And look what happened afterwards. So, yeah, I mean, this is truly a unique time for Bitcoin. Even if we flash up the Ethereum chart, you know, here's what I mean is that Ethereum never retested its previous swing low. It never retested the 200-day moving average. It got about halfway there and found some support, and now it's holding on. And I think a lot of people are just a little bit more excited about this Ethereum ETF releasing, and I think that's probably an acting catalyst here because we're seeing similar stuff with Solana, right? I mean, Solana's doing pretty good. Solana bounced off the bottom of its range. It's rallying really well and already starting to move back up. And that's because we saw some Solana ETFs get released, which, you know, maybe that's a good segue into that topic. But, you know, the main takeaway here is that we're looking at the crypto market holistically from a bird's eye view. And I still like what's going on. You know, there's probably some people out there that are just frustrated with the consolidation and with the choppy price action. And it's understandable, right? You know, they're taking the Reddit, they're taking the Twitter, they're taking some of these social media platforms, voicing their frustrations. And I think it's justified. However, don't let their frustration with the price action be interpreted as the market being bearish. Because as we're about to get into with the news, there's so many positive things happening.
Right. And even in the pockets of the range, there's opportunity, right? There's things, if you're patient enough and you can pierce them out. I mean, I by no means am a professional trader, by no means. And again, never financial advice for us. Just a couple guys talking about crypto. We're not financial advisors. But a couple weeks ago, June 19th, we had a little discussion about Ethereum. I said, hey, you know, I'm looking for some leveraged Ethereum plays. And I pointed out ENS, and I gave couple reasons why. Here's the clip from 3 weeks ago. Is when the announcement went live, when the ETF got like approved a month or so ago, I saw that thing rocket, obviously, like you just said, find stuff that might be levered to ETH. And then so I kind of just put it on my radar. I was like, okay, there's the first jump. You know, you got to think the thing's going to cool off a little bit, keep an eye on it. And it did. And you know, just put in a fair position, a fair size position, nothing too crazy, and then just let it run. Be like, hey, this is an ETH levered play. You know, again, you never go all in on anything, but just try to find maybe some alpha around the Ethereum ecosystem. So as you heard, just a very simple explanation of looking for some leverage on ETH, and then what do you know? A couple weeks later, it's up. I think as of yesterday, it might have been up 23% from when we gave it out. And then I think it retraced a little bit today. So it's in that 18-20% range. But there's a winner for you. And within the range, there's opportunities. You just got to take the time to parse through them. And that's what we try to do here on Crypto 101, is give you a whole level views so you can take the information and, make your own decisions and try and find some alpha in the market.
And the cool thing about that ENS call out is that ENS, upon that most recent breakout, that's the highest that it has been since the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. I mean, we are talking about multi-year highs for this thing. It is reaching some of the highest point that it has in the last almost 3 years now, which is giant. It's something that very few other cryptos can do. And we love to see that. We like to see the pretty much anything breaking out, right?
Put in a little stop loss, just let it run. See what happens.
Let it run. Well, speaking of things running, Tiva, did you see these Solana ETFs launching? Not one, but two.
Yeah, filings. So the filings are going out. Yeah, we got VanEck and 21 shares. So Cathie Wood's getting involved. Interesting note, the Cathie Wood camp pulled out their ETH ETF. So they have the Bitcoin one live, and then they're filing for the Solana one. Excuse me. VanEck, very, very involved in the crypto space. Big fans of the space here, filing another one. And I don't know. They're coming out. They're starting to come out of the woodwork here. People might forget that, 2 months ago, the ETH ETF, we were hoping it would get this winter by the end of the year, if not next year. And then seemingly overnight, 1 week, it got approved. So I don't know. All bets are off right now. The news flow is so positive. We're about to get to the U.S. government in crypto, and all facets seems to be getting a warmer and warmer relationship. So, who's to say really when these things could get approved and go live, and who's to say what crypto might be next?
Yeah, it's interesting. We were just talking to some venture capitalists, and they were like, we see a world where everyone is able to get easy access to altcoins and put them in their retirement accounts and their savings account and all these things. And I was picking his brain about it, and I was like, hey, do you think that that's going to be accessed through a bunch more ETFs of different altcoins? Or do you think that's just going to be through traditional crypto brokerages or exchanges or wallets? He's like, I think it's going to be both. He's like, I see a bunch more ETFs coming, and I don't think it's going to stop with just Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. He's like, I think that as time goes on, as the space grows, as more people become interested, he's like, I think we're going to see more crypto ETFs. And so that raises the question here about which ones could potentially be next, because we've seen the positive impact that this has had on Bitcoin. I think a lot of people are waiting to see what impact it could have on Ethereum and Solana. And I've said this before, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but if it has even a fraction of the amount of inflows that Bitcoin saw in the Ethereum or the Solana or any subsequent ETF sees even a fraction of those inflows, it will be massively positive. It's money that people probably wouldn't have gained exposure to in the first place. And it's not even like it's an initial catalyst that just falls off afterwards. It is a constant catalyst where it will continue to build over time. The longer that it's around, the more reliable that it proves itself to be, the more money is going to go into these things. And it's ultimately going to be something that just gets built up over time. So the ETF rush is really interesting, because what this means is that there's very clearly a demand for this stuff, whether it's institutional or it's retail. They wouldn't be making these if there wasn't a serious demand for it. And that's what we're seeing here with VanEck spearheading the Solana ETF. And I also think what this has to do is this has to bring in other players. There's no way that other financial institutions, other asset managers go, oh, hey, they're going to be the only two people launching Solana ETFs, we're going to let them have all the market share. That's not how the business world works. If your main competitors have something that you don't, that you know that people want access to, then you're going to offer that service as well, because there's no reason for them to have 100% of the pie. So,
yeah. And then you'll be getting you know, the funds that, like you mentioned, have everything. You have a little Bitcoin exposure, Ethereum, Solana. The future's bright, but it's definitely unknown. I think the Ethereum thing will reveal a lot, because it's definitely a more unique, you know, asset, whereas Bitcoin has definitely been the leading charge of it, that Ethereum. And then I guess if these Solana ones go live, like, that would even be another thing. I don't think it would be overnight. I think that would still take, you know, time, years probably, before you see massive inflows to that. But you never know. Maybe the market, just talking about these leads, kind of what we talked about with Bitcoin, was, you know, these talking heads on TV don't mention Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin, you know, rallies that 90%, like you just showed us on the charts, and then they come on TV months later, be like, oh yeah, no, I bought Bitcoin back in the fall because I saw this coming. It's like, oh, interesting. You didn't tell us that in the fall when you bought it. You just waited to do the victory lap. So maybe there's some fund managers that would actively do that as well, in the altcoin market. So that's a possibility. The market could maybe get ahead of the actual inflows of these products.
And I think that there's a lot of players out there that are just a little bit nervous to enter in because of the SEC and Gary, and they don't know how he's going to react, and they don't know how he wants to regulate these things. And so, I truly do believe that there has to be a large chunk of people and institutions that are like, we're going to wait to see if this guy gets reelected, because if he gets reelected and he's super anti-crypto, then, you know, maybe we watch how everything unfolds over the next year. But if he doesn't get elected and he gets replaced with someone that's very pro-crypto, well, then maybe we're going to step on the gas pedal. So I think there's a lot of people looking at what's happening in the US government and the SEC and this election, and they're kind of just waiting to see
before
they, like, pull the trigger.
It's a great point, and that we can jump right into the Gary Gensler tidbit of the day, if you will. And it's Mark Cuban. So Mark Cuban on X went after Gary, which, just to tee it up, obviously recently in the last month, you've heard on here that we've been trying to cover the political landscape for crypto, not necessarily of our personal political views, but how, you know, basically the Trump camp adopted crypto as part of its, you know, messaging. And the Biden camp seemed a little caught off sides. And Mark Cuban is a very, very loud and proud Democrat. He's on the Democratic side, very anti-Trump, very pro-Biden. But when it comes to Gary Gensler, like, there seems to be no side is now on Gary's side. So here's a public attack specifically on Gary Gensler from Mark Cuban, who has a huge voice, obviously, in sports and TV and Shark Tank and the Mavs, and has a large Twitter account. And basically, the summary of this tweet is that he's saying that the rules and regulations of registering a tokenized company, it's not possible. It's very unclear. And, you know, it's just giving you all the power to basically control the whole thing. There's no actual way to get it done. And so the problem is you, specifically Gary Gensler. And I thought that was pretty powerful, as somebody who is trying to be a big voice in the space, also very open about their politics, who you would see is, like, you know, Gary Gensler is under the Biden administration right now. So it's the waters are heating up for Gary, man. You can feel it. Like, it felt like maybe a couple of years ago that, especially with the FTX thing, you had to get the SEC involved and, you know, save the people. But I don't know, that whole thing's clearly shifting right now.
Yeah, I mean, he has got to feel the heat at this point. It's like you said, it almost feels like no one's on his side. Doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum that you're on. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It is super frustrating. And I think Mark is right about this. Mark Cuban's right about this, in the sense that it's so frustrating to not know exactly what you need to do from a regulatory standpoint, and just trust that the SEC and their authority can disapprove or approve something, you know, based on basically whether they want to or not, because the regulation is so unclear that there is no fine line of, like, you did this, you didn't do that for cryptocurrency companies. So hopefully we see a lot more clarification around this. The other thing that I saw, TiVo, maybe we can flash this tweet up from Eleanor Terrett. But basically what happened here recently is that the U.S. government came out and, you know, for as long as I can remember, the U.S. government has been using Coinbase as their custodian. That's nothing new. They've been doing it for a long time with a lot of the Bitcoin that they seize and get, you know, one way or another. They use Coinbase as their primary custodian, especially when they want to, you know, sell it off and stuff like that. And so even though the government is using Coinbase as their custodian, the government is also suing Coinbase for being a U.S. custodian. And it just does not make any sense. And I've ranted about this before on these market rundowns, but this is, you know, we've also had the SEC sue Coinbase for being like an unregulated, basically for being like an unregulated company in the U.S. when they were the ones who approved them to go public in the first place, right? It's just, it's so frustrating that the very companies or, you know, potentially even like entities that approve these people to be there and use them are the ones that are suing and going after them. And it almost seems like a double standard. It's something that you'd see, and Bryce put it this way, you know, Bryce was talking to us briefly, and he's like, this seems like it'd be a post from The Onion, right? They are a satirical news platform that posts just like funny stuff that's so out there, you know, everyone just views it as a funny joke. And this is one of those things where you'd think that this would be written up on The Onion, where it's like, oh, U.S. government sues the brokerage that they're using because they say that they can't be a custodian, even though they're using them as a custodian. Like, it just, anyway, that's my rant. Fingers crossed, we get a lot of clarification moving forward. All of this stuff gets cleared up. I think it would do wonders for the space to have very clear set of rules on this. And again, I think, not to, you know, put too much pressure on the political forefront, but I think a lot of that does come down to probably election stuff. And you know, who are the next group of officials? You know, maybe we keep the same people. Maybe we get new ones in there. You know, maybe it's from new people, or excuse me, maybe we get new people in there from the existing party. Maybe we get new people in there from the new party. There's so many ways that this could go, but I think a lot of this is waiting on who gets in office next and who's like regulating these policies. And that can be something that just acts as jet fuel to fuel this rocket and propel it to its next stage, or it can be something that hinders it for a little bit longer.
No, well said. It feels like comparing it to the range, the current range of price action. The political space has a very similar tone. It's like, oh, it's positive or all-time highs. No, shut down, this, that, regulations, and go up, but go down, back down. So it has that same flavor of that, but you know, I couldn't say it better myself. So we'll move on to our last topic here. And I thought this is something that I really enjoyed when I remember it was, you know, kind of like the late winter going into, you know, the positive price action in March. I always keep an eye on the Google Trends. And the Google Trends basically shows you what people are searching for on Google and YouTube as well. And so I'll bring up the charts here. And what you'll see is we had, while the price has been in a range, people are getting a little bored with the crypto space. So we'll take a look at this. The orange is Bitcoin. The blue is just the general search term crypto. And then as you can see here, in March, I mean, Bitcoin search was already at 100 compared to over the last year. And then crypto is at 40. Now we are at 34 for Bitcoin and 15 for crypto. So you always got to keep into account. I can't remember if it was you or maybe it was Bryce said that, you know, more and more people know what Bitcoin is now and crypto. So maybe you're getting less searches overall if you compare it to like a 5-year chart. But I still think that this is really relevant, especially when we're getting to possibly a local top, because even just a quick search of Bitcoin price today will trigger a Bitcoin search on Google. So, yeah, just wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, it kind of reads itself, right? So here you are. If you compare this over with the price action, March 3rd to March 10th, that was our high. And then, you know, people are kind of slowly getting bored again, going back to, you know, where we were in the late summer last year, early fall.
Yeah, you know, I think that you are right in the sense that a lot of people know what Bitcoin is now. A lot more people know what cryptocurrency is. So I think it makes sense that this is going to be lower. And also, I think a lot of this has to do with just the volatility, right? Whenever we get a period of just flat price action for this long, it's not going to be the most amazing thing for activity and interest and Google searches. So I wouldn't say it's anything that concerns me too much. I'd be more interested in looking at like institutional interest as opposed to like maybe some of these things. And the institutional interest is still very much there and continuing to grow.
But it is it can be relative. So if you here, I'll share this one. So yeah. 5 years, 5 year chart here. So now your 100 scale will be higher. So now 100 would be back in 2021. That's where Bitcoin hit 100. And then the recent all-time high, Bitcoin hit 50. So that would make the argument, okay, that delta from the 50 to the 100 is like, well, more people know about Bitcoin. But I think you can still tell when the market maybe gets excited. Yeah. And maybe it's a good overheating mechanism to use. It won't tell you when the price action is about to rip as much as it could maybe tell you, you know, maybe when the market's too hot, this is a good thing to go check out. So I'll keep it a tab. I know a lot of people aren't fans of it, but we'll keep tabs on it.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely a good thing to keep tabs on. And like you said, you know, maybe it's not a bottom indicator, but maybe it's like a potential take profit indicator. It doesn't have to mean sell everything, but maybe when those views and those searches start getting up closer to the highs, then we can be like, all right, maybe we take a little bit off the table because we have some decent market data now of when Bitcoin has topped out in previous cycles. So
yeah, no, 100%.
Definitely a lot to keep.
Just thought it'd be cool as we go into the holiday weekend, give you something different, something to think about. But yeah, that's going to do it for us today.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we do over here, right? We look at all the different markets and sentiment and data points and charts and news, and we try to pull all of it in that we can, whether it's something that we look at every week, you know, maybe it's every couple months, maybe it's a one-time thing. We want to make sure that everyone stays as updated and informed and aware as possible, which is why we spend the time, you know, again, going through hours of research every single week, making sure that we have all the best content possible so that you all can stay updated and know what's going on without having to do all this research by yourself. So all that we ask over here is that if you like the content that we're making, if you like these crypto market rundowns and the podcasts and everything else, all that we ask is that you hit that like button, you hit that subscribe button, you check out some of our other content, and also leave us a review. We love reading reviews. We love reading the comments. We like to shout them out over here. And yeah, you know, if you found something special, then certainly let us know. But that's going to go ahead and wrap us up for this episode, everyone. Thank you all for watching. And we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.